Praise be Jesus Christ, and blessed be the Virgin Mary, our Mother. Amen. Spiritual motherhood is something not only for religious, but for all good people who will also be greatly blessed. Spiritual motherhood can be applied to anyone, including the children who died without baptism and are in the temporary state of limbo. We also can apply spiritual motherhood to our priests and nuns who need it so much. Let's now look at some examples of spiritual motherhood. Blessed Alexandrina of Balazar was beatified on April 25, 2004. She lived the last 13 years of her life without eating or drinking. She only received communion every day. She was subjected to a thorough observation in a hospital in Porto, Portugal, monitored 24 hours a day by impartial witnesses. And at the end of the 40-day trial, she had maintained her weight, temperature, and blood pressure. Doctors could find no scientific or medical explanation for these events. She lived many years ill in bed. One day in 1941, she wrote to her spiritual father, Father Mariano Pinho, that Jesus had told her, "In Lisbon, there is a priest who is in danger of eternal damnation. He seriously offends me. Call your spiritual father and ask him for permission to suffer in a particular way for that soul." Receiving the permission of her spiritual director, God sent her sufferings to make reparation for that sinful priest. And she said to Jesus, "No, don't let him go to hell. I offer myself as a holocaust as long as you want, Lord." Jesus revealed the name and surname of that priest, and her director wanted to investigate who that priest was and asked the Cardinal of Lisbon if he knew him. And he confirmed that he did know him and that he was a priest who gave him many concerns about his bad behavior. A short time later, Father David de Novais told Father Pino, the director of Alexandrina, that he had given spiritual exercises at Fatima, and a very reserved man had participated who had had an exemplary behavior. The last afternoon of the exercises, he had had a heart attack, but she had time to call a priest, who heard his confession and gave him communion. Before long, he died reconciled to God, and it was discovered that this man, dressed as a layman, was the priest for whom Alexandrina had prayed and suffered so much. Father Giovanni Salerno, founder of the Congregation Servants of the Poor of the Third World, says, "I was 17 years old when three ophthalmologists from Viterbo, where I was attending high school, gave me their verdict. At age 20, you will be blind. The superior urged me to interrupt my studies." He was a seminarian in the Augustinian order. "And to marry as soon as possible, so that I would have by my side a wife who could accompany me in my blindness. But I firmly believed in my vocation, and with tears in my eyes, I asked the Lord to come to my aid. I wrote to the monastery of Cassia. Immediately, the abbess replied that a young sister had offered herself as a victim for the health of my eyes. After a few days, Father Hector Celepeni arrived in Viterbo. He did not know me, but when he learned about my case, he convinced my superior to take me to Rome with a famous ophthalmologist. He saved my sight and said goodbye to me, saying, 'You must resume your studies.' Result, I was ordained a priest a year before my classmates." We all need to pray for our priests, regardless of whether we agree with them or we don't. If we don't pray for them, we are committing a sin, that is, a sin of omission, against the works of mercy. Generally speaking, it is not good to speak ill of anyone. It is not something that pleases God, and it is a mortal sin if we bear false witness against your neighbor, because it goes against the eighth commandment. It is also important to know that it is not good to speak specifically ill of priests, because priests are people separated by God to be consecrated to God, or someone sacred to God and to be at his service, in persona Christi, meaning in the person of Christ. And this in persona Christi goes above the behavior of the priest, his fidelity to the church, whether he is in sin or not. And when we see that our priests are not on the right track, instead of speaking ill of them, it is best to pray for them. All priests need our prayers. The German bishop Wilhelm Kettler recounted that when he had already received his law degree and was thinking of dedicating himself to this profession and starting a family, one day he had a divine dream. "Christ was above me in a cloud of light, and he showed his Sacred Heart. In front of him kneeling was a little nun who raised her hands in prayer. And Jesus told me, she prays for you uninterruptedly. I clearly saw her figure and could never forget her face. This experience was so strong that I decided to leave everything and become a priest. And I started my theology studies at the age of 30. I am convinced that there is someone who prays for me, and I pray that God also blesses that unknown nun. But one day, Bishop Kettler went to celebrate Mass in a convent of nuns, and as he gave communion to the last of them, he froze as he recognized the nun from his dream. He asked the superior to have all the sisters come in order to talk with them, but she was missing. Why? Because she was the last sister, the one who dedicated herself to gardening and cooking. He asked her to make her come, and afterwards, he was able to converse with her alone. She confessed to him that everything she did and suffered, she offered it for a soul in need. The Lord will know to whom he offers my prayers. I have always prayed, as my parish priest taught me, for the people most in need of prayer. The bishop realized that the day of his dream and of his conversion was exactly the day of that nun's birth. God had granted his conversion by virtue of the merits and prayers that in his providence he knew that this nun would offer for a soul in need, and God chose him as the beneficiary. The bishop blessed the sister and encouraged her to continue praying for that intention. He did not reveal the secret to her, but yes, to the mother prioress, to whom he said that his vocation was due to that poor nun who prayed every day for a soul in need. And the bishop said to her, "If I ever feel tempted to take pride in my works or my successes, I don't want to forget that everything is due not to my merits, but to the prayers of that simple sister who works in the kitchen, in the chicken coop, and in the most humble things of the convent. And those little things have so much value before God that they have been able to give a bishop to the church." Cardinal Nicolas Cusano was a great reformer of the spiritual life of the clergy in the 15th century, and God showed him in a dream the power of the prayer of religious women in the silence of their convents. He says, "One day I dreamed that in a small church, very old, adorned with mosaics from the first centuries, there were thousands of nuns praying. They were very collected in prayer. They were standing with their gaze fixed on a distant point. Their arms were open and their hands were raised upward in offering. But these nuns had in their hands men and women, emperors and kings, cities and countries. Sometimes their hands closed over a city or country, but most held a single brother or sister in their hands. In the hands of a young religious, almost a child, I saw the Pope. Her face radiated joy, and she prayed for the Pope. In the hands of an elderly nun was myself, Cardinal of the Church. Suddenly, in the company of my guide or angel, I found myself in the crypt of that church where thousands of sisters prayed. But while in the previous vision, the nuns had the people in their hands, those of the crypt had them in their hearts. These were souls whose salvation was in danger. The angel said to me, "This is how these sisters have those who have stopped loving. Sometimes it happens that they warm themselves by the warmth of their hearts, but not always. Sometimes they pass from the hands of those who want to save them to those of the divine judge to whom they must give an account of the prayers and sacrifices offered for them without fruit." I fixed my gaze on those victim souls. I had always known of their existence, but had never been clear about what they meant for the church, for the world, or for peoples. Only now did I understand its deep meaning, and I bowed in reverence to those martyrs of love. Do we need more to understand the power of prayer and the value that God places on those who offer to pray and sacrifice for others? Praised be Jesus Christ, and blessed be the Virgin Mary, our Mother. Amen.